SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
This is the Fantasy Baseball Prospect Podcast. It is Prospect One. I'm your host, Chris Welsh, who you can find on Twitter, the socials, at IsItTheWelsh, and it over at InThisLeague.com. That is my Patreon. That is where the top 500 prospects live. That is where the top 400 dynasty lives. First-year player, you got it. I think you get it. ADPs, redraft ranks, group me rooms, access to me, the community, and more. InThisLeague.com, you can sign up today. First-year player draft, I've got over 90 ranked. Got them in kind of a round format for you as well. And everything under the sun, I appreciate it because you are supporting me when you do it. So InThisLeague.com today on the Patreon. Today on the episode, not just the Patreon, Eric Cross from the Tool Shed is going to be joining me as we are going to start a series where I know some people will dive into like positional series or like team series. I'm going to do the numerical series where we're going to talk about the general vicinity of ranks, because this is actually, I'm probably doing it the most difficult way if you're being honest, because not everybody agrees. There's so much diversity as far as like ranks, especially this year, more than ever. Who's number one? Who's number two? We're going to talk a lot about that in this episode, that there really is just a lot of differing opinions across the board. So using the numbers with it kind of opens it up, but that's kind of what I want to do. I want to talk about the range of the players, and Eric is going to be joining me for the top 10. So we're going to be talking about his top 10, my top 10, comparing it with, there's some pipeline, there's some Baseball America. We're going to be talking about more than 10 players, but we're going to be talking about the general range of said players on this edition, starting a rank series for everybody. So thank you guys as always for hanging out. I hope you're going to be looking forward to this episode. We actually went like over an hour as well. If you have enjoyed some of these, make sure to check out the YouTube.com/InThisLeague as I am posting up some of the things I've been doing. You can catch some of essentially the James interview cut into pieces if you want to watch some of the video. When I can, I try to bring player pages up and stuff like that. Just a different experience. Some people want to consume that way. Some people just consume podcasts. I do both. You know, when I'm out and about, I will consume a lot of podcasts. I work from home, obviously, and I'm in the studio, so I will consume a lot of YouTube. So it's there as well. So YouTube.com/InThisLeague. There's a Prospect One playlist, newest videos you'll see. I will be posting some of that stuff. Love to have you there. Love to have you check it out. Another tidbit for you is I'm going to be doing in between these a special edition. I did not get a chance to post this last week, but I want to do a J15, but I'm going to also make it a slash first year player conversation. So the first half will be my top 10 first year player wrapped with a deeper conversation, kind of going through numerically some of the first year player. There's lots of first year player stuff, content out there. I just did a draft with James, Cross, and Clegg on the RotoWire show. You've got mocks that are going on. Toolshed currently has a mock happening right now. And you know what's interesting about that as well? This isn't first year player, so kind of wrap that in a bow there. You know, I'm going to do an episode. It's coming here in the next couple of days. Had a couple of things going on here that pushed me away from it, but I'm going to have that in between these episodes. So be on the lookout for that. What's funny that lines up here, because Cross and I actually did this episode last week, I believe it was, early last week, and then I saved it for, I actually meant to do the first-year player J15 last week. We did not get a chance, and this was always going to air this week. But what's funny about it is we have this big conversation about like the top 10, specifically the very first pick, because there's a lot of differing opinions. I mean, on this episode, we're going to talk about like, I think three of the four between myself, Cross, the using Pipeline and Baseball America, there's between those four outlets, there's three different number one overall players. What's interesting about it is Toolshed has got a mock draft going on right now that I'm taking a part in. And I had the first pick, which is kind of a nightmare for me because I'm one of the few that is on the side of Jason Dominguez. So having that and having the first pick, like, and what I'm getting at is it's phenomenal for me to have like the third pick. It's really good because you can almost assuredly have Roman Anthony and probably Roki Sasaki go. Some in the industry don't like the idea of Roki not going one overall. Roman Anthony being the popular one, but also there's, I've talked with multiple people. It's funny. There's this Roki Sasaki conversation that popped up in that Toolshed draft, but I had a conversation with multiple people where Roki is not their number one, even prospect pitcher right now. But with that being said, nightmare fuel for me to have the first pick because I'm a Jason Dominguez guy still. And it, and why I'm getting at that is some people that loved it. Some people were like, what the hell's going on? We talk about that here. And to the point where people are like, hey, can you explain this? And I'll just push them to the episode because we literally talk about this in there. But it would be so much better for me to have had a later pick because it kind of, you know, it exposes. It's definitely not a hive mind type of process, but it's like when you deviate off of what like a lot of people are doing, people are like, what's going on here? What's happening? I've been pretty transparent about Jason Dominguez the whole time. I think one of the things that exists with it, though, is, and I say in this episode as well, I really believe like the top four is this, it's kind of interchangeable. Roman Anthony, Jason Dominguez, Dylan Cruz. I think those guys are interchangeable. You know, what you love about Roman Anthony maybe gets muted with some of these other guys because you saw some sample sizes where there was some success that was lacked. You know, Dylan Cruz is a little bit different because not everybody was always in love with him. I loved him in college. I loved his ability to put up like, you know, solid EVs. You probably call it like 90 percentile EVs in college and stuff like that. Just all fields type of power, good contact. Never thought he was going to be like a 40 home run hit or anything like that. But if he can get into the mid 20s, can steal mid 20s, I thought he was going to be a middle of the order guy. I liked him more than a lot of people. Jason Dominguez as well. I have him over. I've always been a fan of Jason Dominguez and I have seen him a lot, but both of their MLB stances that they had last year, they were like underwhelming, but then there's the fatigue that comes in. It's like, oh, well, you know, we saw them and that wasn't really great. And then you look and you go, well, Roman Anthony moved four. And again, I'm not saying Roman Anthony might like clear cut be the number one guy, but a lot of the things you like, it's like, okay, well, hits the ball really hard and makes really good decisions. And hey, by the way, you know, there's a good barrel rate. Well, like that's something Jason Dominguez has as well with a strong stolen base game. Like Jason Dominguez, if you go and look, just if you want to pick on that sample size in the majors, had a double digit barrel percentage. I think it was 46% hard hit rate, which was great. And then in the minors, in 56 games, 11 homers, 16 stolen bases and hit over 300. And my thing with him always has been he's going to be an aggressive hitter for a while. We thought for so long he might not be. But he is. He's going to be an aggressive base runner, albeit on a team that maybe isn't going to be like hyper aggressive on it. But he also has some pretty ridiculous power that he's learning to tap into. And though the average did not really work out, you take this solid counting stat, short sample size minor league season, and then you take it over to the majors. The average stunk, sure, but you saw some underlying metrics that are as good as any of the top prospects. It's high barrel rates, high hard hit. I'm looking for good hard hit, high barrel rates. He's got to cut out the strikeouts and he has to make more consistent contact, but he's also coming off of a 300 minor league season. I don't want to excuse fatigue as being the only reason that like nobody likes him or anything like that, but I think it plays in. And the only reason I'm saying this is like someone was like, Jason Dominguez, that's crazy. And then another person, can you explain it? I think Roman Anthony, Jason Dominguez, and Cruz are on a same path. They do not have the same hype. Roman Anthony is worth oodles more than Jason Dominguez, I would say at this point. But Dominguez also has a path to play the entire season. Again, that doesn't necessarily matter for the full game, but I believe Dominguez has shown in the minor leagues a little bit of a slower run in adjusting, you know, like he's had some low batting average seasons. AFL, he hit the ball really hard, but BABIPped himself to death and had some low averages. That might be who he is. That might be. But we also have seen the growth.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Say, I like you. I like you so much I'm gonna make you my partner. All you have to do is find the gold and I'll share it with you 50-50.
Prospect One.
He is Eric Cross, my good buddy, one of the big prospect names in the industry as we are talking about the top 10 prospects around baseball. You can find him on the Twitter at Eric Cross MLB. I don't even think I realized your new Twitter change that you did. I like it. You can catch him, of course, over on the Tool Shed, Rotoballer, FTN. You got a bunch of places that you're rocking your stuff. And there's a Patreon involved as well. Mr. Eric Cross, what's up, man?
What's up, Welshy? And a long time no see. What, about 2 days since we recorded last when you were on Tool Shed? So good to talk with you again.
We've got this like behind the scenes. We have this, somehow this happened. We're doing three shows together in like a 4 day span. Like, I don't even know how we lined that up, but it just ended up happening. So we did your show, you're doing my show, and then we're together doing RotoWire coming up here. All different topics, though there was a little bit involved in what I did with you guys over on the Tool Shed when we were talking about outfield prospects, because there were a couple of what we're going to do today. As I go through, instead of doing a positional series, I'm going to go through the tiered series of these are the top 10 prospects. What also is going to be involved in here is you're going to have Cross's top 10. You're going to have my top 10. And then we're also going to look at some of the other outlets that are out there, the players that just missed, who the outlets have. This is kind of a who belongs in the top 10, and we can talk about tiers, and we'll just have, you know, bigger conversations around all of these guys. That's what we have got planned. That is what we are going to do. And let's jump right into this, into the top 10 prospects in baseball right now. You and I do not have the same number one. You and I do not have the same number two, the same number three. As a matter of fact, I'm looking at this. We have one player in the top 10 that is the same numerical side. Now, I guess if I look at this, we also have some differences. I think we have like one, two, three. We got like four or five that are in the same 10. And this is actually what I talked about last year, if you remember this, Cross, at the end, at like middle to the end, saying there's just going to be a lot more parity this year, you know, with Roman Anthony becoming like a default, but also deservative top player. Some of the guys not graduating, some of the first year player. There just really is not a definitive side to this. When we also bring in Pipeline and Baseball America, Pipeline has a different number one than you and I. Now, Baseball America does share the same number one as you, but that's going to be the interesting transition we are going to do. Eric Cross and I ranking prospects for Dynasty, for Fantasy, outlets like specifically Pipeline. That is not even in the consideration. I believe Baseball America does a separate one. Jeff Ponce's finger on that really helps that understanding, but there's still this real baseball. So that's going to be the crazy conversation we are going to have around all of these. And let's start with your number one, and we'll just have the conversation. This guy ends up being my number three, but I think there's a tier. I mentioned this on your show. I think there is a tier, especially for the outfield, which is kind of like the top five. When I look at my top 10, it is actually five straight outfielders. Well, there's another position that's thrown in here, but of the position players, it's five straight of the outfield. And I believe those guys all kind of belong in a tier. But number one, as I've done so much talking, probably no surprise to a lot of people with the hubbub, but also you as a Red Sox guy, Roman Anthony is your number one overall prospect. He is obviously great, great heights he's risen to. 18 homers, 21 stolen bases. He hit 290. He has crossed three levels while improving. Power numbers have gone up. He's stealing bases. He hits the ball really hard. I don't know if any of these guys, my number one or your number one, deserve that, like, you know, they belong in their own territory range. But when you're piecing some of these guys together, Roman Anthony is very popular and probably the more popular of them, number one. So give me your thoughts on Roman Anthony and him snagging that number one spot for you.
Yeah, no, like you mentioned, it's a weird time for prospects right now. I mean, this is the first time I can remember in a little bit where I didn't have like a clear cut number one in my own mind. I mean, let alone someone that's at, you know, a tier or head and shoulders above the rest. Like I've gone back and forth on my number one And you can make a case for, you know, the next two or three more, even four more on my, you know, top 10 or both of our top 10s. And I wouldn't scoff at it. But yeah, Roman Anthony, my number one. You know, the big thing with Anthony, that I saw a ton of him live last year in AA Portland. And obviously, you know, the raw tools are there. And I saw that, you know, very, you know, quickly on, you know, first, you know, series I saw of him in April. But, you know, some of the swing decisions weren't the greatest in my live looks early in the season. But those got a lot better later in the season. And it wasn't so much like he was still walking a good bit, but it was almost like he was swinging at pitches he shouldn't have and not swinging at pitches he should have and getting himself into two deep accounts and then chasing outside the zone. So he might have only swung like one time the entire at bat, but it was on a bad pitch, you know, slider down the way or something like that. So really cleaned that up throughout the year, much better. And, you know, later on before he got called up, AAA. And yeah, the fact that he's already on the cusp of, you know, joining the major league team, whether that's opening day or shortly thereafter, he's going to be, you know, still 20 for the first, you know, six or so weeks of the season, turns 21 mid-May. I mean, he doesn't have that one tool. Like, there's a massive power, massive speed, et cetera. But, you know, he just does so many things well. You know, the contact skills are solid. The approach is very good. You know, there's, you know, good power, you know, solid speed. This guy's probably going to hit you 25 to 30 home runs, steal 15 to 20 bags. You know, and provide a good average OBP and probably someone that hits high on the order. So you get all those nice counting stats as well. I mean, you know, there's really the entire package here with Anthony. Contact rates are around like 75-76%. You know, good in zone as well. Doesn't chase too often for the most part. So yeah, just a really good, you know, above average to plus all around profile. And I think he's I think the best blend of ceiling and floor of like the top guys. You could probably make a case for, you know, Jason having more upside for fantasy, which I think he does, but I feel a bit safer about Anthony. So it's like, you know, which one do you weigh a little bit more? So right now it's really like 1A, 1B, 1C for my top three, but I'll give the slight nod here to Roman Anthony.
Yeah. And, you know, speaking of, that is my number one is Jason Dominguez. I've got him as my locked down my number one spot. He has already gotten to the majors. 207. He had six homers. He had that really great power output, you know, with the injuries and stuff. Stole six bases.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I know how you're feeling right now.
Don't do that.
I'm here for you.
Oh. In this league.
You are doing.
Which was very impressive early on, just, you know, being aggressive on the base paths, which I think something he is going to be. Killed it in the minors in that short period of time. He hit over 300, 11 homers, 16 stolen bases. I watched him a ton in the Arizona Fall League where I saw a lot of the negatives. You know, very aggressive. I think he got BABIP to death. But one thing he did all the time, even though he did not have a good Arizona Fall League and the numbers weren't great, was dude hit the ball hard every single time he was out. When he could get on base, he was aggressive base stealing. From a like natural prospecting, like if, you know, if like we were scouting for like a team, I would look and I'd be like, yeah, there's some holes in the swing that could maybe have some batting average issues. I don't like him defensively. Like, I saw him make bonehead after bonehead play in center field, Arizona Fall League, you know, so maybe that's, you know, whatever that is. Like, he could be like, is he a center fielder? Listed at left field, probably going to be more of a corner infield guy. But back to what you're saying, like, I think the floor is there for Roman Anthony, because I do think, like, I think some of those swing decisions that you were talking about might come into play early on in his career, and those tools are good, but they're not loud. And by what I mean by that is, like, we're not currently looking at a player that has already successfully in the minors hit, you know, 35 homers in a season as a 20-year-old, or he's stealing 40 bases or anything like that. But the way that he makes contact and the hard hit, there's a decent chance to be a 30 home run hitter. Like, he legitimately could do that, but we just don't know which direction that's going to end up. With Jason Dominguez, what's interesting is, like, we've already seen some of the negative and we're seeing him bounce back and we're seeing him kind of recoup that. I think the speed is more prevalent with Jason Dominguez. I think the power is on par in the same territory as Roman Anthony, but it is the average that's a little bit in question. But then you also have like a really good ballpark factor. I kind of agree. It's interesting you say 1A, 1B, because it is not necessary. Well, actually, for you, it's 1A, 1B. I've got another guy that we're going to talk about here in just a second that is kind of in the middle here. But I do believe this is like a very hard tier of Jason Dominguez. Clearly, the guy we're going to talk about is Dylan Cruz and Roman Anthony are in that group. What else do you want to throw out about Jason Dominguez?
Yeah, no, I really echo a lot of what you just said. I saw him a good amount in AA with Somerset. And yeah, everything, even his outs, were very loud. I didn't think, you know, when he was stealing a bunch of bags, a couple of years ago, I'm like, all right, that's cute. That's awesome. But let's see if that translates up into the upper minors. And it did. I didn't think he'd continue to run as much as he did, but he has. So yeah, the upside's there. I mean, legit 30-30 upside. He's more power from the left side, which fits Yankee Stadium well. So yeah, I think if we're ranking just an upside, I would go Jason Dominguez number one, because I think out of every current prospect, I think he's got the, there's a few others that you could probably put in that same discussion, but for ones that are kind of in this part of our rankings and close to the majors, I think he has the highest upside of the bunch.
You know, I could see Jason Dominguez even this year being like Lawrence Butler from last year, where if you remember, Butler had like a couple months where he hit under 200, and then he had that swing change, and then everything started to click and change, and it was 260, he hit 300, he ended up, essentially being almost a 2020 guy. I think Dominguez could go in the same area. A clear-cut issue that you can see, and I've got it on screen here, is his work against lefties is going to be a big problem. Like, Roman Anthony doesn't have a split issue. I believe he hit like 280 and like 300 against righties and lefties comboed. So there weren't really any positional pitcher differences. But you can see it with Dominguez in some short sample sizes, even right here, shows he hit 185 against lefties, 318 against righties, and I believe that was all in AAA. Like, that's not good, and there might be some platooning issues in there. Having that major league work with his swing is probably going to be important this year, but if people are trying to have some context, so I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up having a year like that. But then in the same token, it wouldn't be surprised if, like, Roman Anthony is like Jackson Merrill, this year. It's like 20-something homers, 18 stolen bases. Though the playing time is going to be the big question. These two are both put in a really fantastic spot. You and I just disagree. I've got Dominguez at one. You've got Roman Anthony at one. Credit to you having Dominguez at two. The guy that I have in here, though, and this is the last of this, I think these guys are kind of a grouping that I want to talk about, it is Dylan Cruz. Because one of the funny things that when you were talking about Roman Anthony is I see a lot of the things in Roman Anthony in Dylan Cruz. He is always consistently opposite field. EVs were pretty dang good, especially in college. He gets to the majors this year. Batting average, like many guys, can kind of struggle. Stole a bunch of bases, 3 homers, 12 stolen bases. He did only hit 218, coming off a minor league season where he hit 13 homers, 25 stolen bases, some significant stolen bases in that market.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
Littering and...
Littering and...
In this league.
Break it down.
And as far as the strikeouts go, the strikeouts, like, I think in a, like a similar department, I think you would probably, I don't have it in front of me, but like the 90 EV is going to be in favor of Roman Anthony. But like, you get consistent stuff from Dylan Cruz. And I think Dylan Cruz is going to surprise this year. So that's where, like, I think the talent pool of, and also I have watched Dylan Cruz like since college, since LSU from day one. And that ability to make contact like he does while stealing aggressively here really makes me feel like Dylan Cruz could be in the Churio type of category this year. Like, I think he has definitely got that type of power. I wonder if it gets a little bit passive and if, the zone contact rate's a little bit different between the two. But I think there's a similarity there that I tend to just really like Dylan Cruz. Plus, I know he's going to be there the entire year with a slight little edge here. But I think these guys are a tier of three. That's my tier. It's Cruz, it's Anthony, and it's Dominguez. And the only difference here is you do not have Dylan Cruz, even in your top four. So we are hitting my number two here. He is your number five. Talk to me about Dylan Crews and what like separates him off of specifically a guy like Roman Anthony. Like I assume this isn't like the top five is all one tier. I'm going to imagine there's some type of a tier break. So maybe what breaks the tier between guys like Anthony and Crews?
It actually is one big tier.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yeah. For me, I could go back and forth on all five of these guys, and I probably should bump up Dylan Crews a spot or two. I definitely need to kind of revisit the 3-4-5. I'm set with my 1-2. I got to revisit the 3-4-5 for sure. But, you know, Dylan Crews, I mean, you look at his surface stats last year, like, you know, his 132 plate appearances with the Nats. You know, the slash line wasn't anything to write home about. 218, 288, 353. But you look at the underlying metrics he had in that small, you know, what was that, 5 week or so sample size with the Nats. It was a 45% hard hit rate, K rate below 20%, 86% zone contact, around 77% overall contact. Like, these are all above average marks I'm talking about, and, you know, better than league average chase rate as well. 93rd percentile sprint speed. So 12 bags in just, you know, a few weeks with the Nats. So I think that's kind of the underrated part of his game too. Everyone knows how good the bat is and how good it's been for the last, you know, few years getting back to LSU, even though the minor league numbers weren't exactly jaw dropping. But, you know, he's a good athlete too. I mean, that kind of gets lost in the upside with the bat is that this could be an easy 20 plus 25, you know, maybe even close to 30 steal guy, where the upside I think is near Jason Dominguez overall, maybe a little bit low, you know, below that level. But, you know, the metrics here are really good across the board. I mean, he's got to, you know, get the ball in the air a little bit more. It was 56% ground ball rate in this time with the Nats. But if he can start launching the ball a bit more, I mean, there's definite, like, right off the bat, 20 plus upside from him with a decent average and a good OBP as well. And that Nats lineup is, I think, like the top like five or six of that lineup is pretty good with all the young talent with Abrams and you know, James Wood, etc. They just got Nathaniel Lowe up in there too. So could be a pretty solid lineup around him. He'll probably hit somewhere in the middle of that. So I think he could provide really good five category production right off the bat. So, I mean, someone could say, hey, I have Dylan Crews number one. I won't scoff at that one bit. I think this is a pretty big tier for me. And I think he's a little bit underrated right now, I think. And
I actually agree with that. Yeah, I think, well, and but what is interesting, though, when we talk about the other outlets for just a minute, that kind of goes away a little bit. It almost goes away from the underrated because that's a discussion we're going to have in a second. But like, I agree with you. I think from a perception of fantasy, like Dylan Crews, there's always prospect fatigue. That was one thing I talked about on your show was I think one thing that exists with Jason Dominguez is prospect fatigue. He got up to the majors. He didn't instantly become, you know, he wasn't Jackson Merrill. He didn't become the hottest thing right out the gate. So he was smashing some homers, but he's been around for so long. We've talked about him for so long. He got up to the majors. He hit around like, you know, under 220. Everyone's like, all right, there you go. Same thing happened with Dylan Crews. Like, all right, stole some bases. That's great. But, you know, struggle with his batting average and people kind of move on. But like, don't be surprised when Dylan Crews puts up a Wyatt Langford type of season. You know, Langford had some struggles early on and he ended up bouncing back. I think Dylan Crews in a power department, maybe like him and Langford might be closer to similar. Again, like if you told me like Roman Anthony had a Langford season, I wouldn't be surprised. Like all those guys, there are like some similarities in where it's maybe like, you know, the plate discipline is a little bit better with a guy like Langford. Stolen bases might go in favor of Dylan Crews. Anthony might be the best combination, even comparative to Wyatt Langford, but they're all in some general area. I think that's where Dylan Crews really ends up shining. And I think the good thing that we're talking about here is the clear cut tiers. To me, the tier stop. This is three. Three is like in the top 10. It's a 1A. And then we're going to go to this 1B territory. For you, you are sticking in its top five are a very big value here. There's a couple things I want to get into that are going to be really interesting, but there's a couple more players as we move through because we've identified my top three. When we go to your number three, very popular name, I do still have him. I've got him in my top 10. I do not have him at three, but for all intents and purposes, he is deserved of being in this territory. It is Christian Campbell. You probably, people poke at you like, oh, two Red Sox in the top three there. they're across. That's a big shocker here. But Christian Campbell was like, you know, the dude of dudes, 20 homers, 24 stolen bases. He hit .330, moved across levels, got to AAA, played multiple positions. I don't even think, I mean, I think he's being looked at in the majors for a position that wasn't his primary position this past year. But Christian Campbell was one of the biggest, hottest risers last season in what obviously the Red Sox, the number one minor league system with that just insane core. They were able to trade, to be able to get Crochet and not trade a Campbell, an Anthony. They were never going to trade Anthony, but to not trade like Campbell or even Marcelo Mayer was like shocking to me. But Campbell was one of the biggest risers, does everything great, probably the best athlete on this. Hits the ball hard, really good, consistent contact. I think there's a little element of people being like, ooh, it felt like it came out of nowhere, but lower strikeout rates in the minors, good home run, 20 homers. But that was also coming off, as people can see on screen, where it was only 22 games, but he had one homer the year prior. So it all feels very in your face. I've got him at 10. You've got him at 3. Talk to me about Christian Campbell.
Yeah, it's funny that the people will chatter about me having Campbell in 3 or 2 in the top 3 from the Red Sox, but they don't talk when I have like Marcelo Mayer lower than a lot. I mean, I can be low on Red Sox prospects too. And I think, you know, people think it would be biased, but maybe it is a little biased in the fact that I've just seen Campbell so much, just living where I live and being able to go see a bunch of, you know, minor league, you know, games for the Red Sox, AA. So I saw Campbell come through here, and he went from being a fun prospect with some upside entering the year to a guy that, you know, still top 10 for you, top 3 for me. You know, he just kept getting better as the year went on. I think the question entering this year, I mean, you know, when he came out of the draft last year, fourth round pick, Georgia Tech, he was, you know, people lauded him for his speed. He was obviously a phenomenal athlete, made a lot of good contact, good approach, but it was like, all right, where does the power wind up? And the power came on this year. I mean, it's not going to be massive power, but he's now an above average power guy. I mean, he had a 46% hard hit rate in AAA. The contact skills kept getting better as the year went on. He was above 80% contact in both AA and AAA. You know, walk rate above 12%, K rate below 20%. I mean, doing everything you want to do, or everything you want to see from a top prospect. And kind of similar with Anthony, where there's not that one loud tool, but you know, we're probably looking at plus hit, above average power, plus speed. You know, I'm not sure. I mean, I think he's that wind up at second base. That's really fun at second base. You know, maybe it could be a little corner outfield. He's played shortstop as well. You know, he's a very good athlete in that regard. So you know, I think it's a guy that could just be a five category producer, being above average kind of across the board. So yeah, he really checked up all the boxes you wanted to see him do this year. And there's really no weakness in this game. He's a good kid. Everything you hear about him off the field, it's just glowing, good family too. So, yeah, I see no red flags here. Really excited to see what Campbell can do this year, because this could be an elite. If he stays at second base, which is where I think he will wind up long term, this could be an elite fantasy asset, like top tier.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in this league.
I love you.
Ready to party!
And it's just like a baseman.
It's hard to not a little bit do the Mookie Betts comps, where Mookie Betts was kind of like, you know, he was an loosely used undersized, but like from a projection standpoint, it wasn't a guy that you look at and you're like, oh, you know, this is going to be a 30 home run hitter. But Mookie Betts was such a great hitter. Like he optimized and he's figured that out, and everywhere that he's hitting environments that have really worked well for him. But extreme launch angles with good barrel and above average hard hit have equated to huge numbers if you make well above average contact. And that's the vibe I get from Christian Campbell. Like, you know, in videos or pictures, the thing that's up on screen, you know, he's under 200. He's 6'3", big guy. But like, you know, like from a body projectability, like he doesn't scream like, oh, this is a guy that's going to add 25, 30 pounds more muscle. So like you said, the biggest question has always been about the power, but it's like, it's an extremely high end hit tool. And those are the type of guys that can make this work, especially if you can rookies. You mentioned earlier with Dylan Cruz, like one thing I get a little dismissive of sometimes is like a rookie who has a higher ground ball rate slash low launch angles. And it's like, yeah, that's a very Vladimir Guerrero is like a prime example of that. Incredible hit tool. But he ran these like low launch angles and stuff. And it's like that's something that sometimes takes time. It takes time for guys to readjust that. But it's like you come out the gates with an above average hit tool already with a guy like Christian Campbell, who has, you know, 46%, I think, hard hit rate. You said triple, like that's above average. That's like that's going into a territory of like really, really solid while he's running. There's some vibes there. I'll be honest with you. I've battled this. I kind of sometimes want to have Christian Campbell over Roman Anthony. But, you know, like I think the floor of what we know from Roman Anthony and the hit tool and the five piece combination is there. There's a little bit of like wanting me personally more because I'm not like you. I didn't get to sit and watch him in game. Like we all have those advantages when we get to sit and watch a guy. Like I watched Jason Dominguez a whole bunch and I have a very vivid perception of who he is. I haven't got to sit live in games and watch it. That I want a little bit more on the sample size before anointing a guy like Christian Campbell. But I wouldn't be surprised if like he had not made the majors or for this coming season that he would be the number one prospect in baseball. But there's a part of me that almost likes him a little bit more. And if I had the ability in a trade, you know, to get Campbell plus instead of Anthony, I would feel very good about that. But Campbell's one of the hottest rising guys out there, so that doesn't really exist in the world. But I just would not be I wouldn't be shocked if he overtook Roman Anthony. Would you be shocked if Christian Campbell became a better overall, especially specifically fantasy player than Roman Anthony over the next 3 years? Would that be shocking to you? Do you think it's in play? What are your thoughts?
I definitely think it's in play. I've had those exact same thoughts where I almost bumped him. I mean, I can make a strong case for him, number one. I mean, the track record isn't quite as long as it is with Anthony or especially with Jason Dominguez, but that's kind of like the knock on him, right? That's like they happened this past year. Like he didn't have a bunch of time in 2023. He was drafted in 2023, but yeah, I think when you factor in everything, throwing the position eligibility that he'll have or even just the position he'll play at second base probably, yeah, I think you could see him be a little bit better than Anthony long term. And that's no knock on Anthony. Obviously, I love him. He's my number one right now. But, you know, Christian Campbell is like I am all in on Christian Campbell as well. And to your point, like, you know, obviously it's you can't get him for cheap right now, but you can get him for cheaper than Roman Anthony for sure. Like if you could you could probably trade like if you're just kind of trading these two for each other, you could probably trade Roman Anthony for Campbell and get also probably another top 100 prospect. I think back a top 100 prospect in there as well. I think that's kind of where the value is at right now. So you don't want to go, you know, all in on Anthony and get another elite prospect for a little bit cheaper. Campbell's your guy.
Yeah. And, you know, and someone could be like, cool, Welsh, then why don't you have him higher? And it's like, I don't know, like top 10, it feels right. I think he belongs again, that third tier to me, it's very specific. There's a fourth player we're going to talk about in just a second after this next player, then it opens up. And the player that we're going to talk about right now, we're going to talk about Walker Jenkins. I believe the value of Jenkins, who I have at 5, you have at 4, down to 10 are interchangeable in that era, in that territory. I will say a lot of the guys that I have above, I have seen them in person. I have seen Matt Shaw, who we'll talk about. I've watched a ton of Sebastian Walcott. I actually think Walcott and him are very interesting because Walcott doesn't have the hit consistency, but he has insanely, ridiculously loud tools, like Fernando Tatis Jr. type tools. But Christian Campbell has like he has the comfortability of the bat. Like I feel very confident he's going to be able to run higher batting averages. He's going to steal bases. I just don't know what the power will end up ultimately looking like. Will he be like a 20-30 out the gate? Or will he be like a 15-30 or 15-25 and hitting lower in the lineup? I'm not sure, but I think there's an easy tier kind of across the board. Okay, so that takes us to the guy that I just mentioned, talking about, if I could pull him up here, where did he go? Walker Jenkins. Walker Jenkins, who we had a lively discussion about on your show. It's funny to me because Walker Jenkins to me was like the first Roman Anthony, you know, like he came on the scene and everyone's like Walker Jenkins, number one overall prospect. And there seems to be like a tiny bit of love lost, I suppose, coming off of hitting double A season at 19 years old, 282, 6 homers, 17 stolen bases. He did not light the world on fire, but he did push 3 levels, rookie to A to high A to double A, double A. Just don't read anything into, but if you look at the 3 levels, he maintained a high batting average. He showed off his power. He kept stealing bases and he's like a big physical specimen, like 6'3", 215, 220. He's getting up there. And I would imagine imagine he's going to probably start at high A this year, and then he'll bump over to double, or they could push him to double A. That's a possibility as well. You and I both still have him as a top five. I think there's a lot of the same assets that I like in like guys like Dylan Cruz, but maybe more projectability on Walker Jenkins, and skies is the limit. But this to me is the opening at five. You're four, I'm five, of a tier of him with Shaw and Christian Campbell and Walcott and Bazana. They all sit in the same range and it could go any direction. And I think there's different ways you could take it. You could take, you know, Matt Shaw is going to be in the majors. Bazana, you know, might be a star, might be the number one overall prospect. Max Clark, one of the younger guys. I actually personally...
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, that dang old...
In this league.
Talk about www.com, you made you go click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.
I don't know what you're saying, but that's what's going on, yeah.
Kind of like Max Clark over Walker for some period of time, but I really do think the hit tool is stabilized with Walker Jenkins. But you talk to me about Walker Jenkins. You are one spot higher, but at least we agree he is still a top five prospect.
Yeah, he's kind of like the odd man out. Not the odd man out, but like the one that doesn't fit with the rest of the grouping here. All these, you know, the other guys up here are on the cusp of making the major leagues, and we won't see Jenkins till sometime in 2026. But you know, it's all about that power projection with Walker Jenkins. I mean, he looks like a number one prospect. Yeah, you mentioned he's a physical specimen. He's big. He's strong. He's lean. Like, he's quick. Athleticism's there, too. I mean, I don't think he's going to be, you know, a burner on the base pass, but this is a guy that's going to give you, you know, potentially plus power. I mean, that's the power upside he has. He has not quite shown that more than, you know, a spurt here and there. Like, you look at, you know, some of the hard hit rates, not, you know, eye-popping by any means. But I'm still kind of banking on that power coming. You know, ground ball rate's a little bit on the higher side as well. But if that power does come, I mean, the sky is the limit with Walker Jenkins, who's one of the more advanced, you know, age to level, you know, age to, you know, experience prospects in the minor leagues right now. He's going to be 20 here in a little over a month in the middle of February. In fact, he's already been proving how advanced the hit tool is. Contact rates are there. The approach is phenomenal. Look at what he did last year. More walks than strikeouts last year, 56 to 47. OBP was pushing 400 and probably would have been there if it wasn't for a little bit of a late season dip. I think he was over 400 for a good chunk of the 2024 season, but probably like a 15 or so steal guy. But you're banking on the high average, the high OBP. And this ranking really depends, as I mentioned, on the power coming. If it does, I think he's number one prospect when all, you know, these older guys, the Anthony's, Campbell's, you know, Jason's, et cetera, graduate by, you know, early season or midseason. So I think he's definitely in that running for number one overall prospect. But like him and same thing, I can say the same about Clark too. You know, their kind of star power, are they going to be good fantasy guys or great fantasy guys, really hinges on the development of that power. So my ranking is me still believing in that power, but I really need to start seeing it from him this year, or he's not going to be a top five prospect for me anymore. He'll be still be highly ranked, but not like top five anymore.
Yeah, I'll tell you the one thing I do really like about Walker Jenkins to throw into this mix, because you know you're dealing with like proximity, and then you're dealing with some young guys that are out there, is that Walker Jenkins' plate discipline is massive, and that's something like if you have a young guy who has, I mean, arguably. Or, I mean, I hate that guy. He's 30 is like a marker a lot, but like 30 is kind of like the marker to be like above average. Like 20 is kind of like, okay, you're okay. But like 30, like no one is going to be shocked if a guy with that physicality and that swing, Walker Jenkins, very easy looking swing as well. If he were to hit 30 homers at, you know, a peak level, I think that would seem correct. And that would seem good. But the one thing that you love in that power, the last tool to end up developing, he did have 22 doubles in 82 games this past year in the minors, which is solid. But the plate discipline, he walked more than he struck out. And that's a big key. 56 walks over 47 strikeouts in 82 games. That's ridiculous. Those are ridiculous numbers. It's not like, you know, he's being super, super passive, though we will say that there is a passiveness that goes on with Twins prospect. We talked about with like Emmanuel Rodriguez, Edward Julian, like there's just some of that that's like floating out there. But Walker Jenkins, there's a ton of upside. He's still young. I love the plate discipline. That's one of like the slightly differentiating factors with him and like Max Clark, because I freaking love Max Clark. We'll talk about him in a second. I have Max Clark at six. He's right after him. They're back to back because I think Max Clark is going to steal more bases. I think he's got 20 homer upside. I think he can be a full on five category player. It's just, I think that Walker Jenkins might be a guy that runs lower strikeout rates, higher batting averages, and more power. And it's like, if I can get 20, 40, and 260 out of Max Clark, do I like that more than getting 30, 20 out of Walker Jenkins while he's hitting 280? You know, like, and those are that's kind of a differentiating factor. So here's where we get to stop for a second before we move on to the next crew. You tell me, from a dynasty fantasy perspective, my number four is not on your top 10 or your top 15. Maybe you didn't rank him, or I'm going to fully understand the reason. Because you don't, I believe you only have one other here. Roky Sasaki is the name here. I have already put Roky Sasaki on my list. Obviously, he has not signed. That is something I used to not do. I put him out there. We've all kind of talked about, and again, people can disagree, in the first-year player class, arguably number one of first-year player. If you don't want a pitcher, you don't want a pitcher. Maybe you really want Bazan or something like that, but